Welcome to this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we invite a guest to join me for a discussion about the latest trends and innovations in blended learning. In this episode, we take a look at the technology backbone and exciting plans to ensure that students have access to their blended learning and online environments. There's no one better to chat to than Dr. Stanley Mpofu, Chief Information Officer of Wits University. As our CIO, Dr. Mpofu brings almost three decades of expertise in ICT business strategy, digital transformation, cybersecurity, mobile strategy, and cloud strategy to Wits. During the pandemic, he ensured the rapid transition to online and negotiated mobile data for the students, and Wits was even one of the first to courier laptops to students during the pandemic. So, Dr. Mpofu, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Morning, Doc, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
Pleasure. We've been really excited about the rollout of EduRoam to airports. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that project and also what your plans are with this public-private partnership that you're starting to develop?
Thank you very much for asking. Otherwise, as a person who has always had an intention of creating an environment where all our students have access to their resources, it became a very quick conversation. I was in a plane with a colleague who is a CIO at AXA, and I expressed to him that, look, can we make a plan and create a platform where our students and our professors can have access onto EduRoam, which is a platform that we use, and it is an international platform, and it would actually create a very good vibe for the profs, including the international profs as well. So that was a discussion. By the time we landed at OR, we had agreed that we were going to do a POC. So I would possibly say in less than 6 months, we had proved that the POC works, and it was executed in April in the rest of the airports that are controlled by AXA.
Okay.
As we speak, any of those AXA airports, EduRoam is available. All employees of the 26 universities have access. All the profs that teach there have access, all the students, as well as international colleagues that also are on the EduRoam platform. They can use it as well. So this was something that was very good, in my opinion, for giving an opportunity that when someone is at the airport, they can still link, or they can even run a lesson whilst at the airport. And I've one prof here at Wits who has actually put it on Twitter that he actually ran a lesson whilst at OR Tambo, which is quite interesting.
I was going to say that.
Yes.
Deserve some applause. That's brilliant.
Yeah, sure. So having done that, I think one of the things that we had to do was to publicize this, because as much as the project was very successful, we had to start by alerting all the CIOs, because I did it with AXA without telling everyone else, because we wanted it to work first. So we've informed everybody, all the CIOs of the 26 universities are now aware. We are hoping that they will then pass the message within their institutions. As of yesterday, we agreed also to share that with USAF. USAF is the body of all the vice chancellors. So at least the vice chancellors should also be aware through that body that they now have access on the 9 airports that are controlled by AXA. I think for now, maybe that's where we can end in terms of what we have done. But what I can also tell you, if you're interested, is whilst we had the POC running it with AXA, I engaged the CIO of GrowthPoint. So GrowthPoint, now we're talking about people on malls, people on most of these big buildings around the country. So as we speak, they are going through a POC as well. So what is the aim? One of these days, our students will walk into Mall of Africa or Eastgate or Westgate, and suddenly they'll find that there is a job.
Did you roam on the...
Yes. I must also state it's already in place in Cape Town, in the city of Cape Town. The Western Cape government has put it in place. Yeah. So the fundamental aim, where I want to get to is, it's to have access in the proximity of the student. Now, if one looks at, say, the disadvantaged students, the majority of them are possibly from areas which require maybe a library and so forth, or community halls. So my last phase of this conversation will go to IGAV and the city of Joburg or any other metro city to try and see if they can create a similar scenario of allowing us to publish our USSID EDUROAM on their Wi-Fi in the library, in the community halls. And once we do that...
Oh, that'll be a game changer.
I think it will be a game changer.
Because that's getting to the student in their own community.
Yes.
I think that's very exciting if we can get it right. I'm sure the contracts and agreements behind it and the funding strategies is quite a challenge.
Look, in terms of funding, it's not really a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal because if you find a municipality already has a Wi-Fi in the libraries or in the community halls, all we need is the point of presence. In other words, where EDUROAM will come and connect, and then we put our USSID, which is EDUROAM, and then it gets published. So there's no further infrastructure that you require or any payments of this and that.
But the only thing that bandwidth was an expensive thing. Do we not have to pay for bytes and megabytes and gigabytes?
Not really in the context of utilizing EDUROAM.
Okay.
Because as you know, EDUROAM represents any access that any of the 26 universities would have put in place anyway. So the SSID that you put there still brings, it's like someone is perhaps sitting at VETS or at UJ or at UCT accessing their own resources.
Yes, I mean, it's been very useful to me when I've been to meetings at other universities to know that I don't need the special guest passwords, and you just find the EDUROAM and you sign up with your credentials.
Exactly.
Okay, so I mean, I think that's incredibly exciting. But I think one of our big gaps in health sciences is network to the hospitals. So you've just completed the rollout of the network to Baragwanath Hospital. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and what your other plans are for the hospitals?
Yes. In my first meeting with Prof. Martin Vela, when I arrived here at VETS, he was very, very clear to me that if you really want to have an impact here, make our students feel they are at VETS even when they're at a hospital. And I will never forget that.
Mm.
So if I think of a student at Ntswalo, which is what, some 500 kilometers from here, you think of a student at Klerksdorp, think of a student at Sebokeng. So I did a site visit to all of these hospitals. And it was clear that the infrastructure in those places was not up to standard. Now, the good thing that has happened is we did put a motivation, I think 2 years ago, I made an application which was approved by DHET, Department of Higher Education, and we got a budget.
Okay.
As we speak, there is Barra Phase 1 was done. If I'm not wrong, we possibly have 6 or 7 hospitals that we are doing now in the next phase. But they are done one at a time, so you'll find they've gone to Klerksdorp, they've done scope of work there, and the good thing that we've done in order to fast track this is we established enabling agreements with 3 companies, so it will make it very quick to implement because we don't have to go through the entire procurement process again. It's a case of we put a request out there, whoever comes cheapest, they get the job. Then we execute the project. And the good thing is we've had our experiences on phase 1. Therefore, when it comes to the rest of the phases, lessons learned are applied. We don't expect a lot of challenges going forward. So the implementation will actually come handy because it's going to make our Faculty of Health students feel they are at VETS even when they are located far away from the institution.
And I mean, I think that for our students to be able to access their online learning platforms when, especially on their rural community placements, like you mentioned in Ntswalo Hospital, I did my undergrad 4th year rural placement there. And I think infrastructure is a concern. I mean, all of the hospitals that we're referring to have been around for a very long time. So they've got aging physical infrastructure, let alone actually whether or not they networked. So I think the challenges are there, but it's exciting that there's a plan.
Yeah, it's challenges if you are not really geared up to do what you're supposed to do. If you take it in Tswalo, for example, one of the things that I found was there was no connection to the nurses' homes, and there was no connection. I think it's a psychiatric ward, if I'm not wrong. So I met the CEO there. I said, yeah, but this is possible. We can do this in a very short period. And within 3 months, we connected both the nurses' hospital as well as the psychiatric ward. And the CEO was quite impressed with that. Because I think at the end, it's all about our attitudes. We should have attitudes that anything can happen, anything can be done. Yeah, if you carry a mentality that says it's impossible, then you are not likely to do anything. Mm. Or if you're afraid of taking risks, which I'm not. In 30 years in IT, I'm no longer afraid of taking risks. So
sure.
I take a risk. If it works, then I know it works. If it doesn't work, then I'll own up and say, sorry, I thought this was going to work. But it's for me, it's all about access and for the good of the students.
I mean, I think one of the big things that changed during COVID as well was the rollout of data to students. And I mean, now there's a bit of a challenge because students are at residences, so they have the university network available to them. I think one of our things is if they're not dependent on their own personal data when they go on a 7-week clinical placement block, it would really be an advantage to how they have access to information anywhere, anytime, as they're needing it. I mean, I think those are critical for blended learning to really happen.
Yes, if you look at what the university has just done, what, in the last 2 months or so, our students are getting data. So if a student happens to go on some work outside the university, in some hospital somewhere, they have the data. Because that's the important part, is to give the student similar access or seamless access as if they were on campus. That's all we want to achieve.
I think the next thing is getting the big mobile service providers to make sure that they have enough towers in those areas and
yes.
backup power to those towers, because
yeah, look, even during 2020, most people would not have known, because I was the person who was dealing with that. Because sometimes we would give a student data and a laptop, but only to find that where they are located, there's no tower close to that place. So literally, almost on a daily basis, I would have conversations with senior people in Vodacom and MTN, and quite a lot of towers could have been engineered by my conversations. And all that was done for the purposes of making sure that our students are connected. And right now, I know in the Tintswalo area, in Agincourt, we are in a process of making sure that both Tenet and the service providers give us a good signal, because the challenges in those areas, it's the signal. You can give someone data, but if the signal is not good enough, that doesn't help either. And I'm aware also of challenges that the mobile network operators face in terms of their batteries being stolen and some vandalism happening. Yeah, but I'm sure they will put mitigations around those areas so that our students have got seamless access.
I think prioritizing the teaching and learning of health practitioners is on the cards. So to switch away from network and access for a little bit, I mean, I think cloud technology is also one of the exciting trends that are happening. And I know Wits is going for some of the software as a service type options. Where are we in that space, and how does that advantage our students?
The biggest challenge on cloud is the fact that you can access it from anywhere, anytime, using any device. And you do not worry about issues of location, for example. And I'm going to use a typical example. So we have got a data center here. If for some reason our data center here, there was an outage and our generators don't kick in, you would literally mean anyone who wants access into an applications in that data center, they are not going to have access.
Yes.
So what we have done now is to go into the cloud direction by making sure that our systems, our applications are sitting in an environment where it's 24/7 power, 24/7 availability, 24/7 security. And the nice thing about that is, even if there was access onto an application in the cloud environment. It allows to go up if there's too much people are accessing, and to go down when there are less
so
people.
So it's scalability of.
I didn't want to use IT words, but exactly. Yes, there's scaling that happens in the cloud space. Mm. And if you look at now we're going on to software as a service, that literally takes away from somebody having to worry about the status or the configuration of your PC. And the advantage of that is, if you look at people who want reports, for example, you don't have to ask someone to go and generate the reports. Reports are there, but they're standard reports there, and all you need is just to request a type of dashboard you want, and you can access it anytime.
And it's real-time data, so you can make decisions.
One thing I like about that is no one cooks the report numbers before it gets to the owner. The owner can simply request and see it as it is, whether it's in dashboard format, whatever format they choose.
So my understanding is Owazi is
yes, Uluwazi is there. Right now we just rolled out Sims is already on cloud, and so is Oracle OCI will be on cloud. And what we want to do now is to have software as a service for Oracle on cloud. And once we do that, I'm sure the CFO and others that get reports out of that will be excited.
I think it'll also speed up the power of that software because it's got so much more.
Yes, there's so much
zoom
space
behind it.
Yes, there's so much space and power, the quite powerful machines behind. Unlike us, because remember when we put stuff on our server here, we're limited by the money that we have. And unlike when the people that, should I call them, cloud hosting vendors, they actually have put a lot of effort into processes, into assuring that the processing is top-notch. Mm.
And as you mentioned, the security in that kind of environment is top-notch as well. Nobody's going to hack my data because I put my stuff up
exactly,
there.
Exactly, because contractually, that is where we have to make an agreement that if I put my stuff there, no one else is going to have access to it. So they obviously have been in the business, the AWS, the Oracles, the Azure and Microsoft. They've done these things, so you don't worry about security. You don't worry about scaling. Literally, what you worry about, a user is awake and they want to access. That's the only thing. The rest, you don't. I mean, whether there's an outage, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I mean, I think one of the concerns is always mock security exam, question security, all of those, especially since we're moving a lot more of our examinations into online spaces. And as you say, unless somebody's actually phishing you for your credentials and access via those kind of parameters.
Unfortunately, those things still happen. In as much as you can try and create awareness, you'll still find one individual once in a while. They possibly forget what the training they've gone through with regards to phishing. And it is only through such activities that someone can have access to your credentials, nothing else.
So, I mean, I think that's one thing that WITS ICT has been doing quite a lot of, is trying to ensure that as a community we understand how people try and steal our credentials and get access.
It is our responsibility, because if we do not do that, we may get to a stage where we will be regretting things that have already created so much damage and reputation to the institution. So the idea of communicating and creating awareness is to make sure that at least people are aware. And it has had an impact. I mean, now you find people asking you, I've received this. Immediately you can tell that they can see that this is not normal. Or some email address that you can quickly see, no, but this is, yes, it may be written Paula Barnard, but when you look at the email address, it is some Google and some other funny letters,
yeah,
and you immediately tell this is not
the right
real dog.
Absolutely. I think those are the main things that I wanted to cover today. I really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to let us know about?
Personally, the only thing that I would wish could happen is if everybody, but particularly, and I know, because I talk, because I've worked in IT for 30 years, so it's normal for me. But I think it's important for people who need a little bit of training on understanding how to use a PC, how to use basic use of technology. I think that is critical for everybody. If there are people who think, well, the kind of job I do doesn't need technology, I think soon they will discover that every job requires some level of knowledge of how to use technology.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I think creating that human capital base that also goes back into the communities, that, you know, if one of their children come to them and say, "Mom, Dad, how do I do this?" Having that working knowledge of basic technology is really important. And I guess that's part of what the Blended Beat is all about, is making sure that everybody is tech savvy. And with that, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Doc.
And that was Dr. Stanley Mpofu, CIO of Wits University, joining us to tell us a bit about his plans for making sure our students are well connected and able to access their blended learning technologies. Thank you for listening, and look out for next week's episode.